We've been looking at the Bible, which we should do, since the new year started. We talked about the beginnings. And everything we do, everything we talk about, you can find the thread in Genesis that we did for those 5 weeks. And thank you for your response. I told you the word is the word. We use the word history. No, it is his story. That's what it really is. Gerald Bray, theologian, wrote it this way. He said, the Bible is a record of a relationship between God and man. The Bible is a record of the relationship between God and man. You may say, well, so what? No, no, no. That's your life right there. And I want to tell you over the next few weeks, some more great stories from this book are ahead of us right now. Dude, can I just tell you, the word is fun. The word is alive. How many of you over the last few weeks saw something and you went, that's kind of funny right there? And you see God's sense of humor in some things there. And those are little nuggets for us to encourage. And here we are in one of these things that we say, well, this is the word. Yeah, but there's some life there. There's some nuggets there. There's some gold in those hills, as the old prospector said. Not only is the word is fun, but the word is alive. The word is active. The word is always moving. There's movement in the word. Not only movement of what it does, but it also creates movement when we hear something. How many times do you read the word and say, after they heard the word, they went forward. They did that. After he heard the word, he said this. This word is so strong. And it is amazing to me. We were talking about something in the car coming over, how the people in the natural want to be able to define a God, create a God, create acceptance. They try to do it in a way that takes the God component out of it. You cannot do that. You cannot have life. You cannot have peace. You cannot even create a society of so-called peace without the God factor in there. The truths that we read about in Genesis and that we read throughout the scripture here. And I love the writings of the old irascible Englishman, G.K. Chesterton, and he wrote this. He said, the opponents of Christianity will believe anything except Christianity. And that's kind of where we are right now. That's kind of where we are. I've seen situations where we've dealt with people and they said, you know, please pray for my son or pray for my relative or pray for my husband. And then when we start speaking to them about the word, I don't want them to get religious. I just want you to help them. How many of you can't help them outside of what the word of the Lord says? You can't help them outside of the word. You can speak things and you can give little good bumper sticker things, but it is the word of the Lord that goes down deep. The word says the word is sharp. It's powerful. It cuts going and coming. It is alive. It is anointed. So that's what we're doing when we talk about the word today. Well, so on the heels of 5 weeks of the very beginning word, I come to you with a brand new word. I come with a new challenge. I come to you with a new destination. Let me read something different. Genesis 50. Soon I will die, Joseph told his brothers. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read that? Soon I will die, but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to who? You keep hearing those names over and over. Who are they? Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made his sons swear an oath, and he said, when God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you. Now, those Egyptians knew how to do the embalming thing, so he was probably still looking pretty good about that time, you know? So Joseph died when he's 110 years old. The Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Today, I've got a brand new word coming from that prophetic word that he said. The new word is moving on up. Moving on up to the sun. To what? Stand up. Moving on up. Moving on up. We finally got a piece of the... Now, before some of you sisters who are a little more spiritual than the rest of us, go over to Sister Lynn and say, can we speak to you for just a minute? Perhaps that probably wasn't a warranted response to the word of the Lord that day. I called her on Thursday. I said, would you sing Moving On Up for me when I point to you? She said, I can't do that. I said, yeah, you got to do that right now. I got your attention, don't I? We're moving on up. Here's the story. Let's go. So turn the page, the next page. These are the names, Exodus 1. These are the names of the son of Israel, that is Jacob, who moved to Egypt. Now, right there, actually, my New Living Translation said, these are the names. New King James says, now these are the names. Probably the better use of the word is coming right off what Joseph said, and it's probably the better language to say, and these are the names. You see the difference in the tense there? So you've turned the page, but the story has continued. And they moved to Egypt with their father. Each had his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. In all, Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. How many of you know when they moved in, the whole family came with them right there? It wasn't just my 11. Don't bring my 11 brothers and my daddy. No, they got their mamas and the aunties and all those things like that, and they're bringing them all there. We're reading from Exodus chapter 1 right now. Exodus means exit, or it means departure. It is the perfect sequel to Genesis. It's actually continuing in the concept of the very beginning. Many times, the sequel to something is not as good as the original. You've seen a movie or you see a book, and many times the sequel doesn't measure up. Gee, I don't remember. I know with musicians sometimes, and there's a real hot, good record that comes out, and the next record, it doesn't measure up there. But Exodus will not disappoint. Exodus is not a disappointment. It is a sequel, but it is better. And what a story in Exodus. This is a story of miracles, one right after another. It is an everlasting record of how God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt to finally establishing them in their promised land. Remember what Joseph said on his deathbed. It is also a continuing story of God's covenant. And it's also the story of when God passes the what I call his life laws down to each of us right now. Exodus is the Old Testament picture of how God supernaturally rescues his people out of bondage and slavery. And he brings them, releasing them from the power of the oppressor and the power of the fallen word. Exodus is also on many, many levels a divine, majestic revelation of God. You'll see, you've heard us use terms of types and shadows. You'll see concepts of not only God's touch, but you'll see a type in the shadow of Jesus Christ, what he's going to do, what he brings to them. You're gonna see in everything that happens, you're going to see revelation truths that are not just historical, but they're part of what we celebrate even still today. It is a part of what Jesus came when he came on the scene to fulfill. So the things that you're hearing now, as you heard in some of the Genesis stories, it is for right now. You're going to see revelation truths beyond just the initial information of a story. Does that make sense that way? You're going to see a revelation truth, and you're going to see more than just Moses. You're going to see more than just a Passover meal at that moment. You're going to see more and understand the symbolism and what God later uses in the symbolism of what you just looked at as the story of the Red Sea. You're going to see New Testament revelation of manna, the bread of life. You're going to see New Testament revelation in the rock. You're going to see New Testament revelation in the story of the water, New Testament revelation in the tabernacle, New Testament revelation in the high priest. Some have said in this book we see three things, and there's a lot of threes in this book for those of you who like that kind of stuff there. Somebody said you could divide Exodus in three concepts and three themes. We see first in the Exodus, the first 18 chapters, we see what I call the power of God. You see it as the power. You're going to see the power of God in the and primarily I'm going to live there in this series in those first 18 chapters there. And I may not do, and I will not do all of them. But then you see another concept where you see the holiness of God when he is speaking, and it's lightning, it's thunder, it's all kinds of things coming. And then you see him later on in this book as the wisdom of God. Somebody said Israel's journey can be taken into three separate parts. The first 14 chapters, you see Israel is in Egypt. They're in bondage. That's what happened when you left the end and before you turned the page there. Then you're going to see the next few chapters, the story of Israel in the desert. Then you're going to see the next few chapters there, Israel in Sinai. So when you're looking at this, and those who can't be with us today, you need to encourage them about the word there and take some good notes there, and we'll make sure it'll be on the website very, very soon, probably tomorrow. And let's pick back up in chapter 1 where we left off. And you notice one statement here, the first two words, it says, in time, when you pick up at verse 6. This book, it moves very, very quickly, especially in the first few chapters there. You're going to see in one chapter where you see many, many years pass. You're going to see a whole life pass by in a chapter sometime. It moves very, very quickly. Time is passing very fast in these first 4 or 5 chapters here. It says, in time, Joseph and all of his brothers died. Okay, hang on to this truth. Ending that entire generation. But their descendants had many children and grandchildren. Their progeny was impressive. In fact, they multiplied so greatly, they became extremely powerful, and they filled the land. You remember back about 4 weeks ago, and here's one guy, he's an old guy, and God said, through you, the nations will be birthed. Through you, the nations will be born. You're going to have kids like the sand and like the stars. You remember all that stuff? How many of you know it's one thing to, on this side of it, say, oh, God was right, wasn't he? I believed it all the time. But on this side of it, when it's just you and your wife's old and she's in the tent listening by the thing there, you're not going to be able to pull that off. Here we are today, and it is happening. It is happening just as God said it would. Everybody's got faith on the other side of what God said. Everybody's got faith. I knew he'd do it every time. David's standing there, and he's looking at that giant there, and all of his brothers and everybody, they're hiding behind the trees. He takes Goliath out, and they come up to David. We knew you could do it all the time, dude, and they pat him on the back. That's the way human nature is. But notice what happens. These guys actually fulfilled what God said. But watch this. Watch this. Do you remember in Genesis when I read the last chapter and I said there is a change going to happen here when he made the statement near the end that what you did, you meant it for evil, but God, do you remember that statement there when we did that? Well, this is another one of those dramatic statements, but it's not a prophetic, it's an insightful thing, and it will help you even understand even the world today when you look at it. Watch what happens. This is the, as Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. They've multiplied. They have filled the land. Verse 8 says, eventually, and can I tell you, there is always an eventually. Elbow somebody and say, there's always an eventually. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt. He knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Now, you have many years of a passage of time here, okay? Many, many years here. Generation after generation had to come and go. And it's one of those things. They had statues there of him, most likely. They probably had paintings of Joseph, their leader, who he was. Joseph was pivotal. Joseph was consequential in their history. Joseph had saved them in the famine of what he had done for them. He saved their lives. He saved their nation. They had school holidays after him. But after a while, eventually, we live in a world right now that's going through an eventually situation. Most of you grew up in your mom and dad. They were involved in a war many, many years ago. And what we were saved from as a nation, and all of us joined together, I don't think the mindset of the world today would even be able to do what your mama did, what your grandpa did, and what your loved ones did right now. And what happens for many, many years, we didn't want to forget what they had done, and we honored them when they walked down the street. And we see them now, and it's like when we went to the, many times we've been to the World War II Museum, and the first time that I took the boys there, I remember there was these older gentlemen, and they were crinkled over, and they had their little hats on there and their little medals, and they were walking like that. They couldn't hear you when you talked, and I said to the boys, I said, you see that old guy over there? I said, he looked like you when he did what he did. But now we live in a time where that's not appreciated. You got other parts in the world that don't remember hardship. You have grandparents who told you stories of what happened in very difficult times in the world and even in our nation there. And we remembered those things. But now, eventually, a new king came to power. He came to Egypt. He knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Time does pass. It's inevitable. That is why we have a responsibility with the word of the Lord, and even in your family lore. We have a responsibility in every phase of life to pass down the word. Pass down the history. Pass down your testimony. Maybe your testimony is not a good one. Maybe it was just kind of rough and you don't want to give some of them details. But you can say, there was a time when God changed my life. There was a time maybe when my grandmother took me to a Sunday school, or my dad did, or they prayed a prayer and life began to change. Maybe I was the first one in my family to be a Christian, and we were the first one in the group there. And I look back at those things and I realize, man, there might have been mistakes. There might have been problems. Those people weren't perfect, but it preserved me to get me to this point. How many of you know God can use imperfect things to get us where he wants us? If you don't believe that, what did you think you heard about Joseph all the last few weeks? You think he said, I'm going to fulfill God's promise. I want my brothers to sell me down to the river to the gypsies. I want to do that. I want to do a little time in jail. I want to be falsely accused. I want to do that. Then I want to help somebody, and I want them to forget me for 2 more years. This is a great story, and if I just do this, my name's going to be in the hit. No, he didn't do that. Throughout his life, life came, and he had to live with it. This is why the responsibility. Let me ask you, what is your testimony? What's the testimony? It could be very simple. It could be very, very dramatic. Some of you look back. Some of you heard the word as little children, and you went off into the weeds, you know, for a life experience for a while. But you there was something there that pulled you there, something that brought you back there. That's the I'm gonna show you how important God uses these things as we tell the story more. Many of us are here today because of a testimony of another generation. It may be a natural generation, or it may be another generation of the word that brought us here. Something has shaped us. Something has kept us even in the ebb and flow of our lives. We've seen this vividly in the natural today. The dimming memories of a depression, of a war, of difficult, even cold wars. The historical challenge in the natural have been forgotten, and it's a big danger. But it's normal. Expect it. Why? Because it's human. It's what humans do. That's what happened here. Joseph was our hero. I mean, he might have been on some money. You never know. He saved them. But as time passed, the urgency and the memory of the hardship, got it? The memory of the hard thing that he saved them from, they didn't tell the story anymore. God knew he was dealing with people. He knew he was dealing with humans. So important in your life that you keep reminding your family, it might not have been perfect, but I've been saved. I've been kept. I've been kept in this. Keep reminding them. The old song. Lord, remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And in your prayers, don't forget when you were walking in sin and death and depravity. And some of you were at your last rope. But a prayer, a word, or just being diligent saved you. A word somebody spoke to you. Just remind them throughout. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm having fun with it right now. That's the problem. Why do you have to keep reminding? Well, we know it already. Why do we have to keep telling it? Because we forget. Well, we know that. Why do you have to say it again? Because we keep forgetting. How many of you have ever had in that little bitty green bottle with that script engraving, that dark colored fizzy drink? You know the one in the green bottle? Yeah, right. Coca-Cola. How many of you ever drank a Coke? Those little bitty green bottles there. How many of you ever had a Coke? How many remember those images of the old Santa Claus and the polar bear? You see that? Polar bears will tear your face off. Don't make them romantic, all right? Aren't they cute? And you hold a little, you know, you tear your face off. But we're going to make them cute. Everybody's had one. Everybody knows what it tastes like. They claim it is the most recognized logo, not only in America, in the world. In the world. Well, we all know what it tastes like, so really, there's really no need for any signage anywhere to advertise Coke, is there? You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. I'd like to teach the world to sing, and we're going to get a Coke, and we're going to do that. Have a Coke and a smile. The Coke, but we all. Well, we just don't need to keep talking about it. We know what it tastes like. We like it. It's good, and I'll get it. Coke found out what God already knew, that if you don't keep it up in the face, they're not going to buy it. They're not going to buy it. And God bless Coke. I love America and Coke. I got to tell you what. I I leave. There's one or two restaurants I refuse to go to because they serve Pepsi, and I got to tell you that right now. That's just no. No, Tyler said, you want to go to Taco Bell? I said, let me pull in the McDonald's first. I'll get my Diet Coke. Then we'll go get your taco over there. But how many? Coke could say, everybody knows about us. We don't have to say anything anymore. Every one of you know about God's touch. Every one of you know the word. You know a lot of the story I'm going to be telling you the next few weeks. But it's so important to keep it right up here. Keep it, and you're going to see it over and over. Keep it right up. Why? Because we don't want it said about us. Eventually, a new king or a new generation came along, and they forgot what God is here. That was really good stuff, and I got a very impassive, like, okay. Do you see the power here? Ask Coke. But in the passing of our time, our life, in the passing of our walk, there is a tendency for us to neglect the word. We do not neglect the word out of, I don't want to hear that word. We neglect the word just to get crowded out. It gets elbowed out of the way there. And we keep living our lives. And if we do not make it important, Coke makes it important enough to sell you that fizzy drink. They make it important enough to spend millions and millions to advertise something you already know about. To put something in your face that you already know what it tastes like. You know that it's good. You know that it's fun to do that. You've seen the commercials. They've done joined the Pepsi tribe, the Pepsi generation. That kind of fizzled there. But Coke, wouldn't you rather have a Coke? We neglect the word. And God says we need to keep it up in front. In time, it fades away. It will be forgotten. Moses frequently will remind the people of Israel in this story in the next few weeks to keep remembering. He actually says it this way. He says, keep telling your kids about it. He actually says, write it on your house. Write it on your hand. Write it on your forehead there. Why? Don't we know? Yeah, we know about God. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. What's the big deal? Keep it up front. If you keep it up front, you won't forget it. And part of that is that we don't treasure the word like we should. Let me lovingly say this. We don't treasure the word like we should. We don't treasure the word like we should. Well, I respect the Bible. I've got one on my table. No. We don't treasure the word. Right in here, he said, I speak. The words that I speak are life. The words I speak are life. And if you're just opening this thing for an hour on Sunday as a drive-by obligatory bowing, I don't want to go to hell visit. No, you're not getting the real story and the real depth of what's going on in the word. My friend Rick Godwin says it this way. When you don't appreciate things properly, they tend to disappear. Appreciate everything you want to remain in your life. Appreciate everything you want to remain in your life. Honey, you haven't told me you love me in a lot of years. Well, nothing's changed. How many of you know that won't fly either? He said, but what you honor, you replicate. You honor the word will grow inside of you. It comes back to you honor somebody. You honor somebody. Let me try this. Linda, I smiled at her. You know what she did to me? She smiled back. I didn't have to tell her. She smiled back at me. How many of you know that when I smile, he smiles back? It says, and what you dishonor, you lose. You've seen that in relationship counseling, that you may not have to do anything overt, but if it's just not important anymore, how many of you know when you don't feel important anymore, that deals with everything inside of you right there? But when you do that and you feel, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to be encouraged. Find somebody to encourage. But that's a good word of the Lord, and that fits. So a new generation comes along. Joseph was a part of a forgotten and erased history. The stories were no longer cool. They're not cool stories. Quit telling those old stories anymore. We are an enlightened society, and we are inclusive, man. And a new Pharaoh came in, and Pharaoh was not benevolent, nor was he respectful toward the history of what the Israelites brought to their land. So here's a problem. You've already heard that they're growing rapidly. Chapter 1, verse 9. So the new king, said to his people, look, the people of Israel, now they outnumber us. They're stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. Stop right here. You want to talk about human nature? Man always thinks he can make a plan to stop what God's going to do. Ask Nimrod and the boys at Babel there. Ask him that. We're going to build us a tower, and he can reign all he wants. And God, you know, I'm thinking, God, I'm God. I'm gonna do a light show and a thunder thing. I'm gonna obliterate them. And when I do it, I'm gonna at the same time look at this. This is what happened. No. God just flipped the language switch, and it was like stepping on an ant bed, you know, that he looked down and saw there. And let us make a plan. Man is always going to try to make a plan. We're living in a world today where man is trying to make a plan. Man is trying to make a plan. Man in his own carnal mindset. Well, if we just band together, if we just did this, if we all did this, everything's going to be, we're going to live in harmony. It's just going to be wonderful. Man always tries to make a plan. Matt and I were talking about something this morning that is a very, to me, I look at through the lens of this, of what is part of our life, and I go, and I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. But to the people, wow, it's so cool. It's such wisdom there and things like that. And all of a sudden, I hear that scripture. I hear it a lot now when I watch TV and I walk through this life. And the scripture that says, they presumed themselves to be wise, but they became fools right there. And so here's what you got right here. It said, if they don't, they're gonna, and by the way, too, their mind thinks in carnality, and they knew that if they were like the Israelites, they would band together, and you understand that? So again, the whole value system out of the box, square one is wrong. The starting point is wrong. So it's not just to control them, but they say, well, I know what I would do if I was in that position, and that's not the way the Spirit of God works. He said to keep them from growing even more. And if we don't, and if war breaks out, they're going to join our enemies. They're going to fight against us. And then we will have to escape from our own country. So the rules changed. The Egyptians were made the Israelites. It made the Israelites the slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses as supply centers for the king. But the more, listen to this, but the more the Egyptians oppressed them, this is what I have to remind myself when I see things going on in the world today. But it said, the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. And the more alarmed the Egyptians came. You in New Orleans, Louisiana, are the only people that can really understand that. Because they tell us with that roach that's creeping around your house right now, and you're not there. And it tells us that they will come, that Miller the killer, you know. When I was going to UNO, we make a little extra money singing commercials with a group like that. And we sang, Miller the killer, and the guy, he kills them all, you know, like that. They say that if they create something that kills the roach, after a while, something inside of them changes, and the very thing that would kill them becomes food for them. So you gotta always keep changing the roach poison. Oh, I was saved 30 years ago, and I know that I got the word, but you're still getting blindsided. You got to keep getting in that word. You got to keep updating, because that sucker's going to feed. He's going to change on you right there. And this is exactly what happened there. They multiplied and they spread, which automatically remind me of Psalm 126, verse 2. Then said they among the heathen, you know, the Lord has done great things for them. And that's the picture that I'd like us to show in 2020 in the world today, that we will get stronger. We will be stronger people, even when it's coming apart at the seams, that the word inside of us, man, they should be coming apart right now, but they're not. So the Egyptians worked the people without mercy. They made their lives bitter. They forced them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all of their demands. God, I thought you said I was the chosen people, and I'm miserable right now. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave his order to the... Now, this is way cool. You talk about God. You talk about God working in the hearts and lives. Here's man again trying to make a plan. Every time man makes a plan, God goes... I'll take care of that. Gave order to the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua. Shifra means beauty. Did you know that? Pua means splendor. God's going to do something in the hearts and lives with these special ladies. This is a fun story. He said, now when you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill the baby. If it is a girl, let her live. Let me tell you, the devil never learns. The devil never learns. Somebody said that, and the devil knew what I was thinking. No, he doesn't know what you think. He don't know what you tell him. That's why your word has to be a little bit, oh, I don't know what would happen if I lost that. Okay, boom. You know, like that. No. Don't tell. That's why the word's got to be strong inside of you. Here's another attempt. And I tell you how the devil doesn't learn. If you fast forward down the road a few years, there's going to be a time where some wise men and shepherds are hearing about a prophecy that a deliverer, a king, is going to be born. So what does he do? He steps into the knee-jerk, what a natural king who's threatened by his. He said, we're going to kill the boy babies. He should have realized it didn't work back there. It isn't going to work now. That makes me wonder right now, who are they trying to kill to stop an evangelist? And somebody right now with the millions that are being killed every year, and people are applauding that in public. That's another story for another day. We see another attempt to destroy the will of God, to destroy the line of a new deliverer that's on the way. In the future, another king's going to try it, and you know how that's going to work out. But notice verse 17, move up. It said, but because the midwives, beauty and splendor, because the midwives feared God, they feared God, they refused to obey the orders of the king, and they allowed the boys to live. Truth stop right here. There was a special God pull in the heart of beauty and splendor that was pulled toward God. They got into that thing and they knew it wasn't right. Something inside of them was speaking. And the word says we're only drawn unless the Spirit of God draws us. Carnal man does that. It's enmity against God. But there was something in them, in their job. And let me just remind you right now, we've read a lot in our house and we've talked to you a lot about people all around the world in all sorts of situations. We've read stories in our house about little Muslim girls who were being abused in awful things, and they had no Bible, they didn't have no radio, they didn't have any TV there, but something inside of them, the word appeared unto them, something happened inside of each of them, and something birthed in their lives, and they were drawn. They said, God came to me. God spoke to me. And we've seen it time and time again. How did they do that? God did that right now. There are examples of godless countries all over the world, in godless situations where people fear God. They don't know how to say it. They don't know how to express it. And they are a little fearful of what they're facing. But there is a heart toward God. There is a drawing. There is a pulling. God was doing something. And can I tell you, God is always doing something. It was a God thing that these two precious ladies recognized. They probably didn't know the fullness of what it was. But there was something inside of them that says, they're going to do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. And it was through that opening in the door that God said, here's where he lands. Here's where the deliverer is going to land. That's kind of neat like that. It was a God thing. Can I just say, let's just keep praying for people in other lands that are in extreme bondage and these poor ladies. You know, it's amazing to me that the feminist organizations of America are not beating the door down for what's going on to the poor ladies around the world there. They can't read a book. They can't drive a car. They've got to have themselves covered or not. And then they trade them for goats, man, and stuff like that. But I'm just believing right now that there are people in those nations, even young men who say, this is not right. There's a pulling there. Because every time man decides to make a problem to put God in a box, God gets a new box. It was a God thing. How do you know it was God? Jesus said it this way in John 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And on the last day, you're going to get to meet beauty and splendor. You're going to get to meet those two ladies there. And they're going to be humble. They're going to be all, you know, there's nothing. You know, like that. But they put their life on the line. Well, verse 18, the king calls the midwives and he said, why have you done this? he demanded. Why have you allowed these boys to live? Well, man, all of a sudden, man, they're tap dancing in their mind there. He said, and this is really, really kind of cool. He said, you got to know, King, the Hebrew women aren't like the Egyptian women. The Hebrew women they're amazing women. They're amazing women. You saw that one family came with 70, and now they're the reason for all of this right now. They are amazing. They are amazing there. He said, they're amazing. And I like this. This is kind of cute. I'll just read it because, you know, I'll get in trouble if I go anywhere with it. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly, we can't get there in time. There they come. We can't get there in time. One, boom, 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 boom. We can't get there in time. They're having them so fast. And they must have been so convincing. The king's going, okay, right. So God was good to the midwives. God was good to them. And the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more. And here's the king trying to stomp them out. He's playing whack-a-mole with the Israelites. And he can't get there. It's just not working there. He's not doing it. And the Israelites multiplied more and more and more powerful. And because the midwives, this ought to be a testimony for your life. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. I think 40 years down the road, when that train pulled out of Dodge, I think they were right in the middle of it. I think they were in the middle of it. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Back up. In Genesis, Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you. It's one big thread. I'm going to bless you. And because they feared God, he gave them families. So then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, and you may let the girls live. What do we know here? You need to have your armor on and you need to be engaged. Because what you're hearing here is that the enemy will never take no for an answer. The enemy will continue to kick it up. That's one thing we know. But here's another thing I know. God is still on message. God still has a plan. And if you stay with us over the next few weeks, this is going to be a fun walk. It's going to be a fun journey. Yes, we're moving on up. And something real big's about to happen. And it's connecting all together. What do you mean it's connecting? Next week when you come, you'll hear these words. And about this time, about, again, a passage of time phrasing that moves very quickly. You're only in the second chapter. You've seen a bunch of stuff going on. About this time, there was a man and there was a woman. Amram and Jochebed. They came from the tribe of Levi. They got married. The woman became pregnant. She gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby, and she kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, there's going to come a point of time in your life that you're not going to be able to hide what God's done. Little kids were singing, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. Remember that? You sang those things? There comes a time where you can't hide it anymore. She got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in a basket. This won't be the last time the word, you've already heard about one ark. There's going to be another ark one day of safety for all of us. Laid it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile River. And what happens? Find out next week. Let's all stand.